Good morning, everybody, and welcome again to another beautiful day on the Mid-North Coast. And it's predicted to be a very, very hot one, so make sure that you stay cool over the next few days. It's been an interesting week on the world political scene. And I guess that's only stands to reason because you connect that with the last couple of years and things have been chaotic pretty much across the board. People's beginning to scratch their head and say, what's going on? Well, today, let's do a quick review and then I'm going to attempt to respond to what's going on and where's God. So let's start the review. We all remember a couple of years ago when we were in the midst of a very severe drought and we were wondering, Lord, when are you going to send the rain? He sent the rain. And then the bushfires started and they were raging throughout the country and a lot of people lost their properties and a lot of people lost their lives. And it was a chaotic time and we were praying, Lord, how long is this going to last? Again, the Lord sent the rain and dealt with it. And then we had the coronavirus hit us last year, and in a matter of days, everything shut down. Things changed. My guess is a lot of things are going to change from now on. But I personally believe the Australian government and the Australian people have done a fantastic job controlling this thing. Do you know what all we have to do is cast our eyes overseas to find it's a whole lot worse there. And it's pretty much out of control. And then we've, most of us, I'm sure everybody have done this. Over the last year, we've watched our TVs and we've heard the reports of fighting and burning and looting and things going on in the streets of the United States. And then we watched and heard of a contentious presidential election that has culminated in an attack on the Capitol building. Almost unprecedented things that we've never seen before. And there's a lot of Christians wondering what in the world is going on. And some are even saying, Lord, where are you in all the chaos? Well, today I'd like to have a really well-known preacher. And we will all know this man. I'm going to let him respond to where the Lord is during this time.
Habakkuk said, Lord, please tell me what you're doing. And God said, no, I'm not going to tell you, Habakkuk. Because if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it. If God today told us what he's doing in the world, we wouldn't believe it. Don't you think God's given up and God's abdicated and God's left the throne? He hasn't. He's still on the throne. And those of us that know him put our trust in him and him alone. I don't put my trust in Washington. I don't put my trust in the United Nations. I don't put my trust in myself. I don't put trust in my money. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When all the rest of it fails and crumbles and shatters, he'll be there.
I think all of us can learn from the words of Billy Graham and apply the principles that he preached many years ago. I guess you can say, though he's dead, his voice still speaks. But he had a hold of something. God really is on the throne. God has not abdicated his place of authority. God is still aware of what he's doing, and we need to have confidence in that. And you know what? And for the next few minutes, what I want us to do is to dig into Habakkuk and just see this conversation with Habakkuk and the Lord. And then I think we can learn some things from them. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us. Thank you for your blessings. And Lord, help us to learn something from the words of Habakkuk. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. First, Habakkuk had just about come to the end of himself. He was frustrated with everything that was going on. And you can see that, you can hear it in his words. Verse 1, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, and strife and contentions." Boy, doesn't that describe today? He goes on, "So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted." In other words, "Lord, where are you? Why don't you show up? Lord, what are you doing?" God responds in verse 5. "Look among the nations and see and wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your day that you would not believe if I told you." Hey, Habakkuk, you wouldn't believe me if I told you what's going on. Then remember, God's thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. So there's no way we can understand what he's doing with our finite minds. Then God went on to explain a little about what was coming. And really, I'm sure that Habakkuk probably wished he hadn't asked. It's not good. God would be raising up a vicious army that is described as dreadful and terrible. And these people are vicious, and they're just going to bring destruction in all that they do. And then the old prophet says, "So you're going to sit back and just watch this happen?" God responds with this, "Write what I told you, for it is an appointed time. It's going to happen." Then finally, God tells Habakkuk, verse number 4, or chapter 2, verse number 4, "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him." But listen to this. "But the righteous," or just, "shall live by faith." Habakkuk, it's time for those people who trust me to live by faith. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Doesn't matter what's going on in politics. It doesn't matter what's going on in the natural world. Habakkuk, the just, is supposed to live by faith. Listen, God's approach to man hasn't changed. He wants his people to trust him and believe in him, regardless of what's going on. He doesn't want us to trust government. He doesn't want us to trust our money. He doesn't want us to trust ourselves. He doesn't want us to trust anybody but him. Yes, we can obey the government and the laws of the land as we're told to do, but our trust and confidence and faith must remain in Jesus Christ. Every Christ-following believer must learn this. And if we don't, then our life will be full of chaos and disunity and confusion. We've got to learn to trust God. So God wants us to trust him. Here's the question. Will we? But there's another Old Testament prophet that was really wondering what God was up to, and we can also learn from God's response with him. This is Isaiah. Let's go over to Isaiah 43, verses 19 through 21. God tells Isaiah, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beast will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they may declare my praise." We saw all say, "Praise the Lord. I'm in for that. Lord, make us a new way forward as we move ahead." Well, not so fast. God is great. He will show us a way forward. But, and let's look at that but that God gave Isaiah in verse number 22. But you have not called on me, O Jacob. And Isaiah is supposed to give this message to Israel. You have not called on me, and you have been weary of me, O Israel. God went on to expose Israel for not doing the things that they knew today to do. They were tired of God. They were tired of His rules and guidelines. And they say, we want free of this. God's conclusion, verse 28, therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary and deliver Jacob to utter destruction and Israel to reviling. If I can give you my translation, Israel, because you've dishonored me through your actions, I will lead you to destruction and embarrassment. This is not good. Yes, God wants us to trust Him. Yes, God will make a way for those who follow Him and obey Him. But we have to make the decisions to do that. Today we've looked at two situations in the Old Testament where God was doing some amazing and wonderful things in Israel. But the outcome for Israel was not good simply because of Israel's lack of faith and disobedience. What can we take from that as we move forward into the new year? I believe that God is the same yesterday and today. And he does work differently with people through time. But there's one thing that stays true. God expects His people to trust Him and follow His commands. He expects His people to be His people. And that's called obedience. I know that's words probably not politically correct today, but it's very much a biblical one. Obedience, just doing what God tells us to do. So, as we wrap this up, let's just think. For those who follow Jesus and believe in Him, our eternal future is secure. And that was taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary when He died for us and He nailed our sins on His cross, and we put our faith in His finished work. But I also believe if we want God's full blessing for us today, we've got to trust Him. Folks, let me say it again. We've got to trust Him. And in doing that, He expects us to follow His commands. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's called obedience. I think it's kind of wrapped up in the words of an old hymn that we've sang many times. The only way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. Simple words, but so very profound. Let's keep that in mind. And finally, rather than closing with a song, I just want to share with you my life verses from the scripture. If you know me or been around me very much, you would have heard me quote this many times, but what was true back in Solomon's day, true throughout my whole life, and true today, and will be true in the future, is what these words say. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Wow, we've had to apply that over and over and over and over again over the last 2.5 years. And what will it be in the future? Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's all of them. Then He will direct our paths, or He will make our paths straight. So are we going to do that? Well, the call is up to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to learn these principles and apply them. Help us to learn from Habakkuk and Isaiah and God's response to them. And finally, Solomon's words to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.